Sahana Vavatu, Sahana Bhunaktu, Sahaviryan Karavavahai, Tejasvinavaditamastu Mavidvishavahai. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sarigaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.
Okay, page 9. Sukadev Goswami continued. Krishna and Balaram wore flower garlands and spotless garments, and their limbs were beautifully decorated and anointed. The women sang their glories in a charming way, bound to them by affection. The two lords praised the nightfall, signaled by the rising of the moon and the appearance of stars, a lotus-scented breeze, and bees intoxicated by the fragrance of jasmine flowers. Right? So all the flowers are out, so it's all very, very nice. Bees always like this, but then when the full moon's out, then you know, for them and many of the, we see birds in that, they don't, to them it's not actually night, because for them they just go by, there's light or there's no light. You know, it's just like when there's an eclipse. It may be in the middle of the day, but when it gets dark, they just go into the trees and set up and go to sleep. And then after whatever it is, an hour, whatever it is, that it gets light again, then it's the next day for them, and they get up. So they just go by if it's light or not. So then, especially these full moon ones, then they're going to be there, and because it's bright and that, so then the bees are out, and it's all happening, you know, because there's so many fragrances here. Normally you just have, you know, some flowers here or there. So you have all those flowers, plus you have the fragrance of Krishna and Balaram and then the gopis and that. And so especially, you know, Krishna and Radharani, and they're the source of all good smell. Right? So the earth, everything else gets their smell from there. Said Radharani, when she takes her bath, when she finishes her bath, when she, you know, you change from the wet gumsha to the dry gumsha. So when you put the dry one on, you drop the wet one. So when that wet one hits the ground, then the earth takes all the fragrance from that, and that's the fragrance that the earth uses to give to all the flowers and everything else like that. So all fragrance that we get and all the flowers and that, that comes from Radharani anyway. So like that. Doesn't want to wake up.
Scientists say that bees, they don't sleep.
Sorry?
Scientists say that bees, they don't sleep.
You see at night when it's dark that they just sit there on the hive, they don't move around. But it must be when it's a nice moon out and it's bright, then they could move around. So, you know, your flowers would be blooming at a certain time in that, so unless they're night blooming, then they wouldn't be going out. So if they can't see and they can't, because they generally work off the sun, like where the sun is, and they can do the angles and all that, they can figure it out. So they must be able to do the same thing with the moonlight. But in any case, there's plenty of fragrances, because they're totally into fragrances like that. But I've also, it was interesting, someone told me once, is that you ever see that sometimes the doves or the pigeons, they'll be flying along and there's a bunch of bees flying after them? And that, and I can't remember how it came up, but then the person was explaining to me, is because the birds don't smell good, and it annoys the bees, so they chase them. Get rid of them, you know. If they come around and sit there, then they just chase them off, because they smell bad. Like that, so. Yeah, so for them, it's all about smell. Yeah. That's where they all end up, right? The guy with his nose insured for €1 million, that guy ends up as the bee, right? Yeah.
Bee movies.
Yeah, the bee movie, yeah. Krishna and Balaram sang, producing the entire range of musical sounds simultaneously. Their singing brought happiness to the ears and minds of all living beings. The gopis became stunned when they heard that song, because they're doing all the different musical sounds all in one. Because generally, when you do, you'll take one kind of sound or one kind of method, and then you do like that. You know, it's like in the alap, they'll take one thing and do that for a while, then they'll do another one and do that for a while, and you know, do it fast, do it slow, do it like this. But they're doing all these things at one time. Plus, both of them are singing together, and so then you end up with something, you know, very amazing. Like that. So even the gopis, who are so expert in music, even they're stunned. Now, we've heard before the Brahma and Shiva, then they're bewildered like that. But the gopis aren't by what Krishna plays in a shlupa, what they're singing now, even they become bewildered. So we know it's good. Forgetting themselves, O king, they did not notice that their fine garments were becoming loose and their hair and garlands disheveled. Because right, the girls always will be conscious of their cloth, right? When it becomes loose, then they always tighten it and do all these different things like that. So here, they're so absorbed, they completely forgot themselves, and they weren't seeing that their garments were becoming loose and their hair and garlands disheveled like that. So, you know, when that's over, then they'll make adjustments. Srila Jiva Goswami writes, the two were described by the gopis using songs suitable for Horika. Right, so that's holy. Right. Attractive with joyful singing and arrangements, lalitam, right? So it's very refined, right? It's not out there. We're not talking about a Bavarian beer song or, you know, the Russian Volga song, we're talking here about, you know. So
it's actually quite melodious.
Well, that's there, but still, it's a bit. It doesn't.
It's sung.
Huh?
It depends where they sing.
Where it's singing? Okay, yeah, yeah. We're not talking about a bunch of guys standing around the piano player. They're all half drunk and then singing. Yeah. But lalitam means it's refined. Since they were bound by affection to the two boys, Balaram had separate gopis during this pastime. Right, so they're bound by affection, but with one, you know, as we mentioned, with one of the brothers, it will be conjugal, and the other brother it will be friendship, right? And then, you know, vice versa. So they're bound by affection to both, just like the cowherd boys are bound to Krishna by friendship rasa. So then Balaram's gopis will be bound to Krishna by friendship rasa. And Krishna's gopis will be bound to Balaram by friendship rasa. Right? This has been indicated previously. Gopyon tarena bujayor api yat sprisha strihi. You have embraced the young cowherd women between your two arms, a favor hankered after by the goddess of fortune herself. How do we get 1:10:15:8?
It's not one, it is SB.
It is SB.
You
just ran into a bus or something, so it's... Okay. It will be stated in verse 24 that hearing the song, the gopis fainted. The two sang songs and the two separate groups of gopis fainted. However, in describing the pastimes, because of the crowds on that occasion, the descriptions of the two boys' separate pastimes are merged together, although the two actually had separate pastimes. Okay, so then that answers your question in the morning. So they're actually having separate places, separate pastimes. But it's both going on at once, and the same thing is happening in both places. They're both, you know, very enthusiastic. They both look very beautiful. They're both singing. And the songs that they're singing then is making their own group faint. Yes? No?
So they're not together as such?
It appears not. It appears they're in two different places. But how far apart the places are, that's not true. So, but the point is they were both out there and doing, because there's a standard principle of how you interact, how you deal. Is that, and so therefore it can be common on what's going to be there, because as we said, the forest is an Udipan, the moon is an Udipan, the fragrances, the breezes, the Jamuna, the flowers, the way everybody's dressed, the way they're behaving, all these are your standard Udipans. So at the same time, both of these are going on. Does that make sense? Krishna's out with his girls, Balaram's out with his girls. But you can describe them, Krishna and Balaram together, of what they're doing, because they're basically doing the same thing. But according, as it said in this next verse, that according to their own sweet will. Right? But this is the category of what they're doing. So they sang, they danced, they played games, they laughed, they joked. You know. That makes sense. That's, you know, and he said, how you say? Even the what do you call it? Even the Mexicans have that concept, right? Okay. Sukadev Goswami continued, right? So it says here, the description of the two boys' separate pastimes emerged together, though the two actually had separate pastimes. So it's just like in explaining the, I think it's in the Sringa pastime or the Varaha pastime or both of them, that it's two different ones, but they're being explained together.
Varaha.
Yeah, Varaha. So Sweta Varaha, and when he's a red color?
Rakta Varaha.
So they're being explained as one pastime, because basically the formula is the same, but in one pastime, one aspect's brought out, and the other pastime, the other's brought out. So therefore, then you just tell the pastime, which is has the same formula, but you bring out the attractive features of whichever one had that stronger feature. So it's a standard thing, because in the Vedic context, it's about the appreciation and the rasa that's important, not the chronology or the time and space. Unless that's going to add to the flavor. Like with Varaha, okay, he appeared by coming out of Brahma's nose, is very small, and then he rose up to the sky and became huge. So that's going to be a specialty of the pastime. So you'll mention it. But others, they don't mention the size unless it's something unique, like Vamanadeva, how small he was. Like that, then it's mentioned. But otherwise, then no need to mention it. Does that make sense? Yeah. So it's just about the rasa. Then that's the point. When the rasas come to that particular flavor, then you either continue with things that have a similar flavor, right? Because before it was rasa dance, and then you had here is another aspect of the rasa dance. But in between, then you had that pastime with Nanda Baba, right? And the snake. So, okay. Yeah, all good. Okay. Sukadeva Goswami continued, while Lord Krishna and Lord Balaram thus played according to their own sweet will and sang to the point of apparent intoxication, a servant of Kuvera named Shankachuda came upon the scene. O king, even as the two lords looked on, Shankachuda brazenly began driving the women off towards the north. So it's not that he's catching one or two, he's actually like herding them off. Because we have to remember now someone like Shankachuda, right, who has the demoniac nature and all that. So for them, what's going to be the important element of girls? They look good. They're beautiful. So then, as it mentioned, the most beautiful girls in the cosmos are here, right? So now you have this guy come across this whole bunch of girls, they're going to be impressed. So immediately he thinks, and is he going to be happy with just one? No, he wants a whole bunch. So he starts herding them off, right? Like that, because he wouldn't be able to choose, right? So I'll take them off. Yeah, and it's servant of Kuvera. So it's just like, let's say the rich man goes into the store, and there's some really nice stuff, but he can't figure out, does he want this one or that one, so he'll just buy both. So the same thing, because this guy's, coming, he's a servant of Kuvera, so they have that attitude of wealth. So then, hey, they can deal with all of it. So they'll take it all. Right? The women who had accepted Krishna and Balaram as their lords began to cry out to them. Srila Prabhupada writes in Krishna book, the demon's name was Shankachuda because on his head there was a valuable jewel resembling a conch shell. Right? So, yeah. Just as the two sons of Kubera had been puffed up over their wealth and opulence and did not care for Narad Muni's presence, this Shankachuda was also puffed up over material opulence. He thought that Krishna and Balaram were two ordinary coward boys enjoying the company of many beautiful girls. Right? So they're ordinary coward boys, and these are beautiful girls. That's how he's perceiving it. Generally, in the material world, a person with riches thinks that all beautiful women should be enjoyed by him. Shankachuda also thought that since he belonged to the rich community of Kuvera, he, not Krishna and Balaram, should enjoy the company of so many beautiful girls. He therefore decided to take charge of them. He appeared before Krishna and Balaram and the damsels of Braja and began to lead the girls away to the north. So that means... Okay, that direction towards Koshi. That side. He commanded them as if he were their proprietor and husband, despite the presence of Krishna and Balaram. Being forcibly taken away by Shankachuda, the damsels of Braja cried out the names of Krishna and Balaram for protection. So it appears that they're having their separate pastimes, but it doesn't necessarily mean that they're far apart. Or they may even be in the same area, so all the girls are there and that, but they're just sitting in their two different spots and interacting and things like that. Or even if they're together, the point is they're both doing what they want to be doing. That's the whole point, is according to their own sweet will, they are absorbed in their pastimes. Does that make sense? So, in other words, the element of time and space is not actually very important. Yeah, being forcibly taken away by Shankachuda, the damsels of Braja cried out the names of Krishna and Balaram for protection. Sukadeva Goswami continued, hearing their devotees crying out, Krishna, Rama, and seeing that they were just like cows being stolen by a thief, Krishna and Balaram began to run after the demons. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti points out, in front of Krishna and Balaram's eyes, Shankachuda drove away the gopis, who were shouting and crying, O Rama, O Krishna, please protect us. Frightening them by whirling a big stick, Shankachuda fled with them to the north. One should understand that he could not actually touch them. In the next verse, this is explained, Yata Ga. So he could only herd them off, but he couldn't touch them. He couldn't grab them, because they're the internal potency. And he's, controlled by the external, so not a good match. Sukadeva Goswami continued, the lords called out in reply, do not fear. Then they picked up logs of the sal tree and quickly pursued that lowest of guhyakas. So sal is what you make all the frames for the windows and doors out of?
This is the oak tree.
Yeah, so it's the strongest, hardest of the woods. Mm-hmm. Like that. So if they picked up, logs of the sal tree, then one, they're going to be super strong and super heavy. So if you get hit with that, then it's not good. Like that, I say. Yeah. Okay, they quickly pursued the lowest of guhyakas, who swiftly ran away. When Shankachuda saw the two of them coming towards him, like the personified forces of time and death, right, because Yamaraj moves with these two. They're his two associates. He was filled with anxiety, confused. He abandoned the women and fled for his life. Lord Govinda chased the demon wherever he ran, eager to take his crest jewel. Meanwhile, Lord Balaram stayed with the women to protect them. So they didn't both go off, because otherwise no one's with the girls. So one stays with the girls, and then Balaram stays with the girls, and Krishna goes off after the demon, because he wanted to get the jewel, like that. The mighty Lord overtook Shankachuta from a great distance, as if from nearby, my dear king. And then, with his fist, the Lord removed the wicked demon's head, together with his crest jewel. Right, so, said Krishna does multiple things in one task, so here he removed the jewel and his head in the same process. Srila Jiva Goswami elaborates. Though Krishna was far away, he caught up with the demon as if he were close. It was not proper to kill the demon from the back, as he was quickly running away. But he could kill the thief, Duratmana, while he was fleeing, if it was not from the back. Krishna killed Shankachuta with his fist, not with a psaltery or any other means, with only one fist. This means he did it without effort, since he was the Lord, Vibhu. Right, so they chased him with that, because then he could understand that these aren't ordinary cowherd boys. Because if they were just running after them, he might not catch that. Right, because anybody's going to run after. But you pick up psaltery trunks and stuff like that, then you know, okay, these guys aren't ordinary. Sukadeva Goswami concluded, having thus killed the demon Shankachuta and taken away his shining jewel, Lord Krishna gave it to his elder brother with great satisfaction as the gopis watched. Srila Jiva Goswami elaborates. All the gopis looked with disinterest, since they all thought that they would be fortunate. Yes. All the gopis looked with disinterest, since they thought that they would be the fortunate one to get the jewel, but he gave it to Balaram so that the gopis would not become envious of each other if one of them had had it. And out of respect for Balaram, and because he had protected the gopis, right? So that's the only one you could give it to. Because any of the gopis, then they would have been envious of each other. That would have ruined the night, right? So therefore, then you give it to Balaram, then they can't get envious from that. If they're thinking why he should get it, not us, but he's, you know, he just protected them, he just took care of them. So then they would be happy from that. So then it worked out. But just, so that aspect, but they looked with disinterest, because that's the whole point, is that you look interested if you don't know you get, if you think you're going to get, then you're not interested. Right? Otherwise then, because the two have to match, right? You want to give and they look disinterested. If you look interested, then they're not. So you have to, you know, it's just like they're looking at something and then the guy goes, oh, would you like to? Oh, I don't know. You know, so then it's kind of like, you know, so then.
But if he does, I don't. Okay, let's go.
Yeah, then you got a problem. That's why we were discussing in the morning, sensitive to the needs of others.
The wrong approach.
And the wrong approach. Yeah, then you have to bring it up. No, I was thinking about it. Yeah, I think maybe it would be. Yeah, yeah. And so then he, oh, okay, then like that. Oh, well, if you like. You know, you have to, in other words, you have to balance it so that it works. Because if you take something too strong and it fails, then, you know what I'm saying? If you're cooking and it doesn't work, who can you blame? Yeah, of course. The problem. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur adds, oh, yes, wait, we hadn't finished that yet. And most of all, he gave it to him to please Balaram, right? Because he's his elder brother, so he wants to please him and all. He gave it with pleasure, Pritya, since he was pleased that Balaram had protected the gopis, right? Because Balaram thought, he'll take care, you know, like that, and then Krishna can go. Because he wanted the jewel, because Balaram then took care, then he wants that jewel to give to Balaram. Ultimately, this means that he did it because of the gopis. Right? So he's done that to catch the jewel for the gopis, but in this situation you can't give it to the gopis, so you know, to make it work for the gopis so that they would be pleased, he gives it to Balaram, and then Balaram is pleased. And that way everybody's pleased. So, in other words, this is the way things work, right? Just that God may be better at it, but it's not that it doesn't work this way. Does that make sense? Yeah? Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur adds, in order to prevent each gopi from thinking that she alone would be given the jewel and prevent the rise of envy. Krishna gave the jewel to Balaram. However, later Balaram gave the jewel to Radha. Right? So then it would get to Radha. Because if he gives it to Radharani, then they'll all be envious again. He already spent the autumn, pastime just working that one out. You know, needed a night of Brahma to do it, so he... Yeah. So he avoided. He gave it to Balaram, and so it would eventually end up with Radharani.
So now when Balaramji gives it to Radharani, so the other gopis are not envious then, because it's come from Balaram, he said.
It's come from Balaram, so then what can you do? It's just he wants to give to Radharani. So, because from the conjugal you can expect, but he's just, he's the elder brother, and so he gives it as a gift, so whatever it is, they can't complain because they have no sense of ownership. Right, other than friendship, so they can't, because it only gets complicated in conjugal. So for Krishna, then it's a conjugal thing, but with Balaram, then it's a friendship aspect. In his Sri Chaitanya Shikshamrita, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur writes, the killing of Shankarachuda represents Krishna killing the desire for name and fame and the association of the opposite sex. Yeah, because that all goes together. So by killing that, you get rid of. So Dhanam, Janam, Sundarim, it's a package. Like that. So that aspect, then by the killing of Shankarachuda, then it destroys this desire. Right? Conclusion. Krishna's sanction is required for both attaining material goals and attaining transcendence. Persons who are attached to fruit of activities, desiring promotion to the comforts of higher planetary systems, cannot achieve their ultimate goal of life without the sanction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It is also stated in the Bhagavad Gita that the less intelligent want to achieve material benefits and therefore worship different kinds of demigods, but they actually get the benedictions from the demigods through the permission of Lord Vishnu or Krishna. Before being favored by Krishna, a person is always under the modes of material nature, however elevated he may be materially. The Vididhara was a materially elevated demigod, and he was very beautiful. He also held a great material position and was able to travel all over by airplane. Yet he was condemned to become a serpent in his next life. Any materially elevated person can be condemned to an abominable species of life if he's not careful. Without Krishna consciousness, all material assets become sources of sin and degradation. A Krishna conscious person knows that he is always a servant of the servant of Krishna. He is most insignificant, and whatever good he does is by the grace of Krishna and the spiritual master. Right? So if that attitude is always maintained, then one has no problem, because one sees, I'm just the servant of the spiritual master. So therefore, if anything great comes, then I'm just a servant, so it's not me. And if things aren't there, then we try harder to do it nicer for the spiritual master and Krishna. Does that make sense? So one can always keep that balance. One never becomes elated in happiness or laments in distress. Is that what the other one is? Yeah. So therefore one can keep that balanced position because of seeing oneself as the servant, not the servant. Yes.
Mark, what's the connection with the snake pastime and then this pastime?
The snake.
Snake.
Sudarshan.
Oh, it means why is it in one chapter? Because that was what was in between the chapter 33 and this part of the story. That's what it mentions in the beginning, is that he wanted to continue with a similar kind of discussion and pastime. But, because this with Vididhara, that happened in between, and it was a significant pastime. Because every night, every day, something wonderful is happening, but only the most outstanding ones are then explained in the pastimes. Otherwise, you could spend eternity just discussing one day of Krishna. Let alone, 11 years, like that. So this was in between. I think he mentioned that in the beginning, no?
In the beginning.
Yes.
And then this happened on Dol Purnima.
Yes, so it's just after. So it's, major festivals, so these are the major things. So, how often that Nanda Baba gets swallowed by a snake and then the snake turns into a Vididhara. So, it's interesting. Thank you. Okay, chapter 35. The gopis sing of Krishna as he wanders in the forest. Pratigya. Feeling constant separation while engaged in the service of the Lord is the perfection of Krishna consciousness. Adhyaya Prakashika. In the 35th chapter, the gopis, pining in separation from Krishna, spend their days relishing him through reciting 12 pairs of verses. Prema, in order to nourish itself, divided itself into pairs, the coolness of enjoyment in the moonlight and the heat of separation in the daylight. Sardartha Darshani 10.35.1. Right, so you have this aspect of the poetry then can bring out these tastes very nicely. As the gopis' mood of separation from Sri Krishna becomes ever more intense, his names, forms, qualities, and pastimes begin spontaneously manifesting in their hearts. Thus they join together and sing as follows. Quote, the beauty of Krishna attracts the minds of all. When he stands in his threefold bending way and plays upon his flute, the Siddhas' wives, flying in the sky with their husbands, become attracted to him and forget external reality. The bulls, cows, and other animals in the pasture become stunned in ecstasy, and they stand so still, with the grass unchewed between their teeth, that they appear like figures in a drawing. Indeed, even the unconscious rivers stop flowing. Right? In other words, what's moving stops moving. Right? And what is not moving may start to move. Right? Just see when Krishna dresses himself in forest array and calls the cows names by blowing on his flute. Even the trees and creepers become so ecstatic out of love that their limbs display eruptions and their sap pours down like a torrent of tears. The sound of Krishna's flute causes the cranes, swans, and other birds in the lakes to close their eyes in deep meditation. The clouds in the sky to gently rumble, imitating the flute vibration. And even such great authorities in the science of music as Indra, Shiva, and Brahma to become astonished. And just as we gopis are anxious to offer everything we have to Krishna, so the wives of the black deer follow him about, imitating us. So the black deer are the antelope? Black bucks. Like that? They have the kind of single, kind of twisty, curly horns. Like that. You see them a lot in the paintings. The Rajasthani paintings, the traditional paintings. You'll generally see them more than the other deer. Like that. So it said wherever the black deer roams, that place is fit for yajna or sacrifice. That's why if they don't roam around where you're from, then we don't have to worry as much about the, how you say? We worry the most about chanting, hearing chanting, and remembering Krishna. That, yes. When Krishna is returning to Vrindavan, he constantly plays his flute while his young companions chant his glories, and Brahma and other chief demigods come to worship his feet. Thus the gopis, feeling intense separation from Krishna, sing of his pastimes. Shloka Anusharana. Verses 1 to 26. The gopis sing of Krishna as he wanders in the forest. Right, so he said it was a pair of 12 verses. Right, or 12 pairs of, 12 pairs of verses. Right, something. What did it say? How many? It said something. 12 pairs of verses. Okay. Sukadeva Goswami said, whenever Krishna went to the forest, the minds of the gopis would run after him. And thus the young girls sadly spent their days singing of his pastimes. Srila Jiva Goswami comments, describing their separation during the days in order to nourish their enjoyment during the nights, Sukadeva shows how they passed their time. Their minds went quickly with him, Anu Druta Cheta Saha, or their hearts melted on thinking of him. Because of absorption in him, they stopped their household duties. All glories to the unprecedented greatness of the gopis. Right, because if they're absorbed in Krishna, then that aspect of separation, then that means at night, then when they're with Krishna, that means that the time spent with Krishna will be even more enhanced. Because as we mentioned, the separation is not the goal. Like being with Krishna, serving Krishna is. But the point is that the separation nourishes the being with Krishna. Does that make sense? Yes.
It seems that all the gopis, they're trying to help the divine couple to meet.
Yes.
However, between themselves, their own relationship develops when they're separated.
Yes. Yes, because they're all working together. Means you have the heads of the groups, and so everyone is in line with helping make the arrangements like that. So there's not a problem in them, in the aspect of working together and trying to meet with Krishna. Because then each when we say, let's say we're saying the 16,108 gopis that are main, that means 16,108 who are heads of gopis. Does that make sense? Yes. Generally speaking. Otherwise, why would they be main? That's why it says there's millions of gopis, and out of that, 16,000 are main. Or 16,108 are main. That's because these are the heads of them. And so then they have their friends, then they have their maidservants, so, you know, it's the whole scene. Can you imagine driving that down the street in the West? Probably get pulled over, right? Yes, so then there's not going to be any problem there because they're all going to work together. So the ones that are hanging out together here are from the same group. They're not from different groups. Means that they'll work together, the different groups, for a greater purpose. But on this, they're going to be swajati. So that's why Rupa Goswami says you associate with like-minded devotees, because that's what they do in the spiritual world. Right? Those who are in Radharani's group, they are together. Those in the independent groups, they're with their groups. Those who are not favorable, then they're in their groups. So like that, they don't. Srila Prabhupada writes in Krishna book, the gopis of Vrindavan were so attached to Krishna that they were not satisfied simply with a rasa dance at night. They wanted to associate with him and enjoy his company during the daytime also. When Krishna went to the forest with his cowherd boyfriends and cows, the gopis did not physically take part, but their hearts went with him. And because their hearts went, they were able to enjoy his company through strong feelings of separation. To acquire this strong feeling of separation is the teaching of Lord Chaitanya and is the direct disciplic succession of Goswamis. When we are not in physical contact with Krishna, we can associate with him like the gopis, through feelings of separation. Krishna's transcendental form, qualities, pastimes, and entourage are all identical with him. There are 9 different kinds of devotional service. Devotional service to Krishna in feelings of separation elevates the devotees to the highest perfectional level, to the level of the gopis. As stated in Srivasacharya...
Can we say that the meeting with Krishna for the residents actually intensified their love much more?
Yes, so the separation is more, and so then that will make their meeting with Krishna more again.
But when we talk about this separation, because that's how we nourish our Krishna consciousness in separation, because we don't really associate.
We don't really have another option.
Yes, that's what I'm saying.
But we have the deity, we have the name, like this, so, like that. Yes. But the point is, as Prabhupada's pointing out, they always want to be with Krishna. So whether it's day or night, so at night they're personally with Krishna, they associate through Sambho. But in the day, then they associate through Vipralamba. But the idea is that they're always being there. So Lord Chaitanya has given that, because that ability to appreciate the aspect of Vipralamba, that's what brings one to that same platform, a level as the gopis. Right, because they're the topmost platform because of this. Because others don't really have that so much, that problem. right? The cowherd boys, they go to sleep at night dreaming of Krishna, and they're happy. And in the morning, they get up and enthusiastic go to meet Krishna in the cowsheds. Right? Nanda Baba, Nanda and Yashoda. So then they'll go to sleep thinking of Krishna, but that's not good enough for the gopis. So they have to go out and be with Krishna. Like that. So therefore, day and night, then they're always absorbed.
Can we say that our separation from Krishna is outside of the four kinds of separation?
What are the four kinds of separation?
You know, like starting with Purvarag and then developing further.
Anartha-nivriti
Level
of separation.
The Anartha-nivriti level of separation. Yeah, I guess you could say is not being necessarily interested is separation. So, yeah. But the point is the principle of separation is always there. It's what goes down through everything. Just like Baba is going down through all the lower levels. But just the intensity of it is very less. Does that make sense? So then, therefore, we only start seeing a little bit of the nature of Baba from Ruchi. Right? Before that, it's its nature, but it's in such a smaller amount than it's given the other titles. So the same way as the separation, then when you get to this point where not being with Krishna is a prominent absorption, not just there's a moment or something. Because that moment is real, but since it's only a moment, we don't necessarily call it by this name. Because here it's called by that name because it's sustained. Does that make sense? You know, it's just like someone has some faith in God, and then when there's a problem, then everything goes all right, and then he doesn't think about God again for another 20 years until something goes wrong. So we wouldn't call that faith. Right? Though, with the times when he's absorbed, that's faith. But we talk about it because what's consistent. So, faith then is where that's consistently there, so then someone who takes up devotional service. Right? And then sadhusanga, when that's consistent, then you know, like that, it goes on. So, separation, we would call it that when it's consistent. So, we may occasionally, you know, just like occasionally we'll remember Krishna. So, occasionally we'll feel that separation from Krishna. So like that. So in that sense, it's real. But the point is, it's not given that full definition because it's not consistent. Does that make sense? And here, it's consistent and it's very deep. So that's what Lord Chaitanya is teaching: is that by following in the footsteps of the damsels of Braja, then one can come to that platform. But one has to appreciate their position. Is that?
It's interesting that Vishwanath Chakravarti, he explains that remembrance on the level of Vaidisana Bhakti needs at least once a day you remember Krishna. That's what the guru.
Yeah, okay, that's remembrance. Okay, yeah. Yeah, so that means you're really getting advanced when you're remembering the spiritual master three times a day. Yes. Yeah, so that therefore it'll be called, because it's something. It's just like how much time does the 4-year-old spend on his alphabet? Right? You know, 30 seconds, you know, like that. So the point is this, but you'll say he's learning. So like that, the same way as that. We're remembering Krishna. We're remembering Krishna, but it may be just once a day. So that's the idea, is that you have all these options. That's why you're getting up in the morning, you know, to offer obeisances, and then trying to remember when you do the mantra bath, you know, because when you do the hot water with the soap and all that, you may or may not remember. But when you do the cold water bath at the end, then it works much easier if you remember Krishna. Right? And so like that, chanting the Gayatri, chanting your japa, going to the temple, offering obeisances, then Mangalartik, then if you're doing puja, right? Then the darshan, then the circumambulation, the, you know, how you say, the Bhagavatam class, prasad. So, you know, the idea is at least one time in all of these things, if you remember Krishna once, then you're, you know, situated in Smarana, right? So that's why he's saying, he's expecting that this is all going on, and so if you remember once, you're doing good. And then from once, it'll turn to twice, it'll turn to three, it'll just keep increasing. But now if you don't expose yourself to this much, then you know, you lessen your chances of remembering the Lord. So that's why it's recommended. Okay, I thought you were saying. I thought it was like you. How you say? So anyway, yeah, so, you know, so it's recommended and all that. Yeah, otherwise, ow. Does that work? As stated in Srivastacharya's prayer to the six Goswamis, that they left the material opulences of government service and the princely status of life and went to Vrindavan. So it wasn't that they were just opulent, but they also had that princely status. Right? Because they weren't just guys that worked in the office and was doing quite well. You know, they weren't middle managers, right? You know, who just have opulence, right? But they had the princely status because, one, of their high birth from their own background, and two, is that, you know, the prime minister of the king and the treasurer of the king, now these are two very important positions, right? Okay. So now, could you say the treasurer of the king would know money? Right? He's the best in the country, right? And so then, the treasurer of the king, he's the one that gave the recommendation on how to use one's money. Like that. So we can't say, well, you know, this is not practical. No, he knows money. Okay, they gave up government opulences, left the material opulences of government service and the princely status of life, and went to Vrindavan, where they lived just like ordinary mendicants, begging from door to door. But they were so much enriched with the gopis' feeling of separation that they enjoyed transcendental pleasure at every moment. Similarly, when Lord Chaitanya was at Jagannath Puri, he was in the role of Radharani, feeling separation from Krishna. Those who are in the disciplic succession of the Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya should always feel separation from Krishna, worship his transcendental form, and discuss his transcendental teachings. His pastimes, his qualities, and his entourage, that will enrich the devotees to the highest devotional perfection. Feeling constant separation while engaged in the service of the Lord is the perfection of Krishna consciousness, right? So that's what everything is going towards. That's what one's trying to obtain. There isn't actually, the whole purpose of the movement is that. So it's how individuals can gain that. And so to do that on a consistent way, then there's an organization to see that exposure is there, that practice is there, that opportunity is there. And so both by hearing and by speaking, right? Then in this way one can come to this platform. Does that make sense? Like that. We have to be able to still see the forest. We can identify individual trees and that, but we can't get lost. We can't not see the forest because we're so absorbed in the trees. The gopis said, when Mukunda vibrates the flute he has placed to his lips, stopping its holes with his tender fingers, he rests his left cheek on his left arm and makes his eyebrows dance. At that time, the demigoddesses, traveling in the sky with their husbands, the siddhas, become amazed. As those ladies listen, they are embarrassed to find their minds yielding to the pursuit of lusting desires. And in their distress, they are unaware that the belts of their garments are loosening. Okay, two and three. Okay, so they come in like that. They come in pairs. So there's 12 pairs of verses. Srila Jiva Goswami writes, it would be difficult for all the gopis to speak simultaneously in one gathering since there were thousands of gopis with individual realizations. Thus, this chapter is a collection of statements of the devoted gopis describing daily general pastimes addressing various devotees, such as Jashoda. For instance, Tavasuta Sate in verse 14. Though the verses do not depend on relationship to other verses, Sukadeva has gathered the verses in order of the time of the day. Sometimes two or three pairs are spoken in the same assembly. The descriptions are grouped in pairs of verses, and each pair consists of a description of the pastime of Krishna. A pastime, Krishna playing his flute, and then the persons who are nourished by the pastime. Krishna's pastimes alone are the highest goal, and the persons experiencing the pastimes respond to them. So they're mentioning the pastimes, and they're mentioning then what he's doing, and then who's being absorbed in that, who's benefiting from that, who's Krishna conscious from that. So it's not just talking about the pastime for yourself, they're talking about they're absorbed in how others then they are serving Krishna. Krishna is so wonderful in how the effect that he has on all others and how they interact. Does that make sense? So we see a difference here of the gopis in separation, you know, and what's the reality of actually what is done. The gopis continued, O girls, this son of Nanda, who gives joy to the distressed, bears steady lightning on his chest and has a smile like a jeweled necklace. Now please hear something wonderful. When he vibrates his flute, Raja's bulls, deer, and cows, standing in groups at a great distance, are all captivated by the sound. And they stop chewing the food in their mouths and cock their ears. Stunned, they appear as if asleep or like figures in a painting. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur writes, What to speak of the intelligent wives of the devas, the inferior animals also became completely bewildered. The gopis continued, My dear gopi, sometimes Mukunda imitates the appearance of a wrestler by decorating himself with leaves, peacock feathers, and colored minerals. Then, in the company of Balaram and the cowherd boys, he plays his flute to call the cows. At that time, the rivers stop flowing. The water, stunned by the ecstasy they feel as they eagerly wait for the wind to bring them the dust of his lotus feet. But like us, the rivers are not very pious, and thus they merely wait with their arms trembling out of love. You know, meaning the rivers are just waiting, just like they're waiting. So they consider that they're not in a very pious position. Because if you're pious, you'll have a better position. Their position, they consider not so good, so they'll consider that they're not very pious. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur elaborates, What to speak of the living creatures, even the unconscious entities become stunned on hearing the flute. One other gopi spoke, When Mukunda decorated with peacock feathers and flowers, imitating the appearance of wrestlers, or mocking them with his own brilliance, along with Balaram and the cowherd boys, calls the cows by name. O Kalindi, Gangay, Saraswati, all the rivers such as Jamuna, Saraswati, and other rivers, though unconscious, take on consciousness and begin to think, O what good fortune we have! Krishna is calling us in order to bathe in our waters. With strong currents we will break the banks and flow towards him. Though desiring in this way, because of being stunned with bliss, with the stoppage of natural movement, currents become immobile. So the river doesn't even flow, it just stops. They're thinking that they will just wash up onto the there and wash up to lotus Krishna's feet and then go back. Because I think that's one of the things, it happens in one of the pastimes. It mentions that the water would go up until it touched Krishna's feet and then it would go back.
Is that an allegory used by gopis in their own bath, or actually, you know, all the residents of Vrindavan, they experience this, you know, Satvika bhavas when he plays on the flute?
But depending on who he plays it for, then, because when he plays for somebody in particular.
Right.
So, but it's not that others can't appreciate. If it's general things, then everybody can hear.
Mm-hmm.
But if he's playing for the gopis, it appears no one else hears. Only they're able to hear.
Mm-hmm.
Like that. But, you know, if he's playing for the cowherd boys, he's playing for calling the cows, or, you know, whatever he's doing, then that then they'll appreciate, because they appreciate all the other aspects of the rasas, because it being Adi Rasa, all rasas are within it. So they can appreciate all the other aspects. The butterfly.
We said that each and every species has the raga.
Yes.
Their own. When Krishna plays that, what he plays for them?
That I'm not sure. Hasn't been said, but it doesn't necessarily have to be. But the point is but it'll be something that they will be pleased with, and he plays the flute in such a way that they'll hear their names being called. It's not that it's just, you know, he's playing the flute and going, oh, Kalindi, and then playing again. No, the sound of the flute says their name. So he's able to do that. I don't know if you've ever seen that. I mean, nowadays you don't see these things so much, but like 70s, 80s, you know, even into the 90s, you could see it. They could play mridangas, and they could play it in such a way that it would speak. You'd actually get words. You know, they would say the words, and then they would play the mridanga, and it would be the same. I don't mean just the, you know, mentioning the tete-a-tete stuff. I mean, actually, they would say verses. You know, Nanda Kumara, you know, Madana Gopala, and then they would play that on the drum, so the drum would actually be saying that. You know. Yeah, I'm not sure if those guys are still alive. So, yeah. So the point is then, you know, and then, and these are just these guys. So imagine how expert Krishna is. If the demigods who are expert in music, they're bewildered, and the gopis who are the most expert, they're fainting. Then, you know, it's good. They know they're good. Srila Sanatana Goswami comments, the rivers have broken their flow. They do not follow after their husband, the ocean. Thus they ignore pious results in this life and the next. They desire just a particle, rajas, from his feet, brought by the wind. They desire dasya from far off. Thus is their qualification for the dust. Like us, they do not have sufficient piety. Attaining it many times, they are not satisfied. They are similar to us. Though out of prema, the flow of the rivers has stopped. By prema, they tremble. Right? So that means they're not so pious because they're not following after their husbands, the ocean. They're following after Krishna. So just like the gopis, they consider we're not very pious because we're following Krishna, not staying in our houses and doing all our duties there. Right? So, yeah. And so then their desire for that dust from Krishna's lotus feet and that mood of service, then that is their qualification. But in that, out of prema, then they stop flowing, even though that's what they want to do, is flow up to his feet. And at the same time, as even though they're not flowing, they tremble. Right? So anything moving stops moving, anything that stops moving is moving. So they're moving, they stop moving, but then they're moving. So, like that. Yeah. The gopis continued. Krishna moves about the forest in the company of his friends, who vividly chant the glories of his magnificent deeds. He thus appears just like the Supreme Personality of Godhead, exhibiting his inexhaustible opulences. When the cows wander into the mountainsides and Krishna calls out to them with the sound of his flute, the trees and creepers in the forest respond by becoming so luxuriant with fruits and flowers that they seem to be manifesting Lord Vishnu within their hearts. As their branches bend low with the weight, the filaments on their trunks and vines stand erect out of the ecstasy of love of God, and both the trees and creepers pour down a rain of sweet sap. Maddened by the divine honey-like aroma of the tulsi flowers on the garland Krishna wears, swarms of bees sing loudly for him, and that most beautiful of all persons thankfully acknowledges and acclaims their song by taking his flute to his lips and playing it. The charming flute song then steals away the minds of the cranes, swans, and other lake-dwelling birds. Indeed, they approach Krishna, close their eyes, and, maintaining strict silence, worship him by fixing their consciousness upon him in deep meditation. So all those birds, because they're known for for being like the sages who meditate because they could stand so still. So here, that's their natural response. In their ecstasy, then they just are absorbed in Krishna, you know, by thinking of him in deep meditation. Yeah, so this thing of where they just expand the flowers, fruits, all, they just do that because of their manifestations of their ecstasy. Because we have to remember they're kalpa vriksha trees, so they can manifest anything. But the natural thing is fruits and flowers. Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur elaborates. As these rivers, though unconscious entities, are eternally perfect, being the forms of devatas, it is naturally that they should react in this way. But see how the immobile trees of low birth, born due to previous karma, relish the sound of the flute. In this way, another group of gopis spoke. When Krishna, endowed with unchanging opulence, similar to Narayana, whose strength is described by the cowherd boys, wanders in the forest, being attracted by the souls there, all the creepers, along with their husbands, the trees, having directly seen Vishnu, who usually appears in the mind, weep tears in the form of streams of honey. They are just like Grihastha Vaishnavas, who, on hearing Samkirtan, offer their obeisances along with their wives. Being endowed with flowers and fruit, the creepers have Stai Bhava, that's the fruit, along with the Santri Bhava of joy, flowers. So their fruits and flowers are their Stai Bhava and their Santri Bhavas. The complete bent branches indicate the Anubhava paying obeisances. As their hairs were standing on end in joy, they displayed Sattvika Bhava of Romancha. So all these different things, since then, they're all experiencing. Mm-hmm. When Krishna thought about what pitch he should play on his flute, the bees would buzz and Krishna would play his flute according to that pitch. You know, all the time we're just thinking they're making noise, but they're actually singing, the bees. Right? Not the dwarf one. Respecting the song, when he placed his flute on his lower lip, the water birds left the lakes and, approaching Krishna, began to worship him. By seeing, hearing, and thinking of him, they closed their eyes, indicating that they were tasting the rasa. The gopis continued, O goddess of Braja, when Krishna is enjoying himself with Balaram on the mountain slopes, playfully wearing a garland flower on the top of his head, he engladdens all with the resonant vibration of his flute. Thus he delights the entire world. At that time, the nearby cloud, afraid of offending a great personality, thunders very gently in accompaniment. The cloud showers flowers onto his dear friend Krishna, and Krishna and shades him from the sun like an umbrella. So they can rain flowers also. Srila Jiva Goswami writes, in the afternoon, decorated with special colorful garlands and dress, he wanders on plateaus of a mountain devoid of shade, because the cows wander there. Desiring the shadow of clouds, he sings the Malara Rag along with Balaram and other friends. By making echoes of the sound on the mountain plateau, he makes the universe echo the song. By his will, with little effort, he makes the clouds come, and by the rumbling sound of the clouds he becomes joyful and makes the universe rejoice. As devatas hidden by the clouds shower flowers, he plays in the shadow of the clouds. The gopis, with a vision of this pastime, speak. What to speak of all the individuals mentioned and all others, the whole universe becomes blissful. Though the clouds are unconscious, far away, and movable by nature, they describe them, imagining that the clouds are friends with Krishna because of form, color, and activity. Right, so he's playing the raga, they're also rumbling in the same, like that. He's blackish colored, they're blackish colored, he's wandering here and there, and they're also doing the same. Right, so just they're seeing in this way. Srila Prabhupada writes in Krishna book, Krishna is accepted as the friend of the cloud because both the cloud and Krishna satisfy the people when they are disturbed. When the people are burning due to excessive heat, the cloud satisfies them with rain. Similarly, when people in materialistic life become disturbed by the blazing fire of material pangs, Krishna consciousness gives them relief like a cloud. The cloud and Krishna, having the same bodily color, also are considered to be friends. Desiring to congratulate its superior friend, the cloud poured not water but small flowers and covered the head of Krishna just like an umbrella to protect him from the scorching sunshine. Right, so they're not, you know, dropping big monster flowers here. You know, they're very nice little flowers, delicate, you know, fragrant, like that. Yes? No? Good. The gopis continued. O pious mother Jashoda, your son, who is expert in all the arts of herding cows, has invented many new styles of flute playing. When he takes his flute to his bimba red lips and sends forth the tones of the harmonic scale in variegated melodies, Brahma, Shiva, Indra, and other chief demigods become confused upon hearing the sound. Although they are the most learned authorities, they cannot ascertain the essence of that music. And thus they bow down their heads and hearts. Right? Because those who know music, basically all those who talk about, you know, the top musicians and all that, then they'll mention within the first note, you should be able to tell what raga it is. Like that.
It's the exam.
Sorry?
It's the exam.
That's the exam. Right. So they just, how the first note moves. Because the first note doesn't mean the first sound. It means the movement of the notes and how they come to sa. Does that make sense? Because for us, let's say you're going sa, like that, we'll count, you know, as two different notes of ni and sa. But actually it's considered one. You know, you're going, you know, ah, we'll count as more notes, but those are counted as one note. That's all sa. So how that moves, then you should know what raga it is. So now here, Brahma, Shiva, Indra, they'll be the most learned, right? And so, otherwise, how can you be king of heaven and appreciate the Gandharva's singing if you don't know the music on that platform? Right? Otherwise, they could be singing anything. They could be singing a lullaby or something, but, you know, like that. And Indra's like, you know, really appreciating it, and all the guys are standing on the side, you know, cracking up, laughing and stuff. No, so he has to know what he's dealing with, right? And so, he's playing, and they can't figure out what it is. Like that. But it's so perfect. It's so beautiful. So it's just, the technique is so much beyond what they know. And they're the best in the universe. So that means there's beyond that. Yes.
So can we say that whatever Krishna plays, if it doesn't resonate within, you know, a person's heart, they can't appreciate, they can't hear?
Basically. Yeah. Because everything, as you mentioned, Krishna's playing flute, that's what's pervading everything, or Krishna's dancing, or anything, that's pervading everything. But only those things with which modes we're under then resonate with that, and we notice Krishna in that aspect. Though we only see the secondary form that it's manifest through, so we don't even see Krishna. But yes, that's what's happening. Srila Jiva Goswami writes, a devoted group of listeners is addressed. Jashoda, included in the group, is also praised during the narration of pastimes. The gopis speak of the flute with its special effects, even influencing her. When she worries about her son returning late when the afternoon passes, the gopis, while worrying why he is late, console her and encourage her by describing his absorption in skillful, astonishing pastimes, while hiding their own rasa with him. But Salya Rasa and Madhurya Rasa do not mix well. Right? So, what rasa is there between the gopis and Mother Jashoda? Vatsalya, right? Means, yeah, because she's like the mother, and they're like the daughters. So, that's the rasa that's manifested. And then here is Krishna, who's her son. And so, then what position does that put them in?
Daughters-in-law.
Yeah, like, no, sisters.
Sisters.
You understand? So you can't bring this out, right? You can't bring it out. Mm. You know, so in other words, the Vatsalya Rasa is there when it, When there's Vatsya Rasa, that's all there is. Everything else takes a back seat to that. Cowherd boys are there. They have to move around the house in such a way that's not going to disturb Mother Yashoda. How they're going to sit at the table and eat is also not going to disturb Mother Yashoda. Like that, they're going to go out into the field when they're all at the gate of Vrindavan before Krishna goes out. Then they all have to be behaving nicely, because if they're being crazy, then Mother Yashoda wouldn't want Krishna to go out with them. So everyone, you know, so it's just, it doesn't mix at all, like that. The friendship, then that, you know, that can kind of work because he's the son, and then these friends are also Mother Yashoda's friends' sons, then they're all like that, so that you can, it can fit in. But the conjugal can't fit in. Is that what it is? So that's the difficulty. In Dwarka, if you have Swakia, then it'll fit, but it'll still be junior to the Vatsalya. Right? And conjugal doesn't exactly work by being junior to anything. Right? Is that make sense? Yeah. By desiring that he return quickly, they also secretly hope to extinguish their own absorption in him, but they hide their sentiments for him by describing him clearly as if they were ordinary people. So they're describing him to Mother Yashoda, then is relieving her anxiety about Krishna being late. But at the same time, is they're covering up their own anxiety and hoping that their own anxiety will go away, which it won't, but by describing and discussing Mother Yashoda's position, right? Because they don't see any difference. Does that make sense? The son of Mother Yashoda is who they're worshiping. So any form he takes, that's still not a problem. Does that make sense? They don't have that problem. He's taking the form of Varaha. It's still Krishna as Varaha. And he's performing his pastime and how he's doing. And so they'll take those features that then they would think about naturally as gopis. Right? You know, how he's protecting the earth, how he's doing these different things like this. They'll see in that way. So for them, discussing anybody else's pastimes is also not a problem for them. This idea that, oh, you know, Gaudiyas, we only talk about Krishna and Braj, nothing else. That's not actually the position. It's that anything can be discussed because it's all seen as Krishna. And if you see it as different, means you're not seeing on the platform they see. Because as we saw before, in those different discussions with the gopis, they're talking with him how he's the Supreme Lord, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Like that. And therefore, as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, they're taking his Narayan. Therefore, you're supposed to deal in a particular way, and you're not. So then, what's going on here? Does that make sense? You don't hear the others talk like this. So that's the thing, is that the gopis don't have any problem, because it's all Krishna. And you're dealing with Krishna, who's the Vishaya. And Radharani, who's the complete Ashraya. So everything's included in them. So they don't have a problem dealing with any other area. Like Prabhupada, as he gets close to the 10th canto, and within the 10th canto, then that Sarvam Kalvidam Brahma, he has no problem using. When you're dealing on other areas, he's more careful how it's used, only very specifically. But when it gets up to the Braj pastimes, then it's not a problem, because everything reminds the gopis of Krishna. There's nothing that doesn't remind them of Krishna. Does that make sense? So that's the whole point, is that when it comes to that point, there's nothing that's here that can't remind you of Krishna. Just that there's nicer, you know, Braj, naturally everything's nice, while here it's not necessarily as nice. But the connection is there. You know, like Prabhupada was saying, when the Japanese were attacking Calcutta and the bombs are dropping, that it's Krishna. What else can do that? What else is going to blow up the building? Can only be that potency of the Lord. So only by the Lord's potency does anything function. But he said it's not necessarily a very attractive feature of Krishna. But the point is it reminds Prabhupada of Krishna. Does that make sense? We'll worry about so many other things, like Arjuna. You know, they blow up the street, then there's a pothole there, then you can't just ride the normal way, you have to go around, and then because of that, then there's so many disturbances, there'll be traffic jams, it'll slow everything down, something like that. But Prabhupada's just remembering Krishna. Does that make sense? Yes? No?
Yes.
Kind of? Hmm? Okay. The gopis continued. As Krishna strolls through Braja with his lotus petal-like feet, marking the ground with the distinctive emblems of flag, thunderbolt, lotus, and elephant goad, he relieves the distress the ground feels from the cow's hooves. As he plays his renowned flute, his body moves with the grace of an elephant's. Thus we gopis, who become agitated by Cupid, when Krishna playfully glances at us, stand as still as trees, unaware that our hair and garments are slackening. Srila Jiva Goswami writes, another devoted group, holding secret rasa, produced internally by pastimes, is addressed. After passing the third yama of the day in talking about Krishna. Okay, so that means passing the third. So that means in the fourth. So that means, basically if you're taking it as a generic, that'll mean from 3 to 6 in the evening. Because a yama is 3 hours. Okay. After passing the third yama of the day and talking about Krishna, when he does not arrive, some of the gopis with anxious hearts, on the pretext of picking flowers, go to look for him when it is time for the cows to return. They praise seeing him in the forest at the end of the day. Overcome by emotion, they say, "O dear friends, enough of speaking of others becoming bewildered. Hear about our own condition." They speak this verse. Right? So they've talked about how everyone else becomes bewildered. Now in this verse, then they're describing how they become bewildered, right? Because when Krishna comes back, when he's playing, then they also go out to see him, like that, because he's coming back to Vrindavan, so everyone goes to see, like that. The gopis continued. Now Krishna is standing somewhere counting his cows on a string of gems. He wears a garland of tulsi flowers that bear the fragrance of his beloved. And he has thrown his arm over the shoulder of an affectionate cowherd boyfriend. As Krishna plays his flute and sings, the music attracts the black deer's wives, who approach that ocean of transcendental qualities, and sit down beside him. Just like us cowherd girls, they have given up all hope for happiness in family life. 18 to 19. The BBT purport states, Srila Jiva Goswami explains that in the afternoon, Sri Krishna dressed himself in new clothing and then went out to call the cows home. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur gives the following information about the transcendental cows of Vrindavan. Quote, for each of the four colors of cows, white, red, black, and yellow, there are 25 subdivisions, making a total of 100 colors, and such qualities as being colored of sandalwood pulp, tilak, speckled, or having a head shaped like a mridanga drum, create 8 further divisions, right? So then you have these four colors, white, red, black, and yellow. In that you have 25 subdivisions within variations within each of those. So that makes 100. Then there's those who are specialty that it's not based on the color. It's based on some other, by the shape of their head. Like, you know, mridanga shaped cows, you've seen that? The point above their nose, kind of between the forehead and nose, is very high. You have it a little bit with these gear cows, but there's another type of cow that's really, really high. You see them sometimes in India. You've seen them, no? Yeah, they're a standard cow. You generally see them on West India. You don't see them so much here. But they're one of the kinds of cows. So like that, or this sandalwood pulp tilak, so it's like speckled, or like that, then they're not your standard thing. So then they're in their own group. So that makes 8 more groups. So when he's counting on his jeweled beads, string of gems, it's gems, it's 108, you know, japa mala of gems. And on that, he counts all the cows. So he'll call each group, and then from that he counts, and then it'll go through, and that then he gets 108. So all of his cows are in those 108 groups. Okay, to count these 108 groups of cows, distinguished by color and form, Krishna is using a string of 108 jeweled beads, the color of each bead corresponding to each group of cows' color. Now that's some pretty good, pretty good arrangement of jewelry, right? To get the exact color and all that, to get the jewels like that. Thus, when Krishna calls out, "Hey, Davali," the name of a white cow, a whole group of white cows come forward, right? Because each of these 108, there's a cow that leads each group. So he simply has to call the 108. He's not going to sit there and call 900,000 cows. That might, you know. We're talking about when the cows come home, and we generally say that'll take until the cows come home, but then we're talking about when the cows are coming home. So it would take forever. So he calls the 108 heads, just like, so that's the whole point, is you have heads of groups, and then that's the head, and then everybody's following. So in the same way with the cows, with the gopis, with the cowherd boys, they all have their heads. And then those who follow that mood, and then they're in that group. And that way then you have like that millions of, but you only have to deal with the main ones for getting that whole group. Does that make sense?
So he's calling it on the flute?
Yes. Like that. He says their name on the flute. Like that. A whole group of white cows. And then when he calls Hamsi, Chandi, Ganga, Mukta, and so on, the 24 other groups of white cows come. Right? So then each one of these, Hamsi, Chandi, Ganga, they're all heads of the other groups. So you have the whole group of white cows, and then you have the other 24 groups of the white cows. Right? So there's 25 groups of white cows. So he calls the head of each of the 25 groups. The reddish cows are called Aruni, Kumkuma, Saraswati, etc. The blackish ones, Shamala, Dumala, Yamuna, etc. And the yellowish ones, Pita, Pingala, Haritaka Lika, etc. Those in the group with tilak marks on their foreheads are called Chitrita, Chitra Tilaka, Dirga Tilaka, and Tiryak Tilaka. There are groups known as Mridanga Muki, Mridanga Head, and Simha Muki, Lion Head, and so on. The Lion Head ones I can't say, but the Mridanga Head ones I've seen. Like that. So it was here, it says, so Chitra. So it seems there's four groups by the various colors, that they have these special markings. Like that, and then four groups then have special shapes of heads, like that. Thus being called by name, the cows are coming forward, and Krishna, thinking that when it is time to bring them back from the forest, none should be forgotten, is counting them on his jewel beads. Right? Because otherwise, if he doesn't call them, then they'll just stay there and eat grass, right? So then he calls them and they all go back. Srila Prabhupada writes in Krishna book, Krishna had many thousands of cows, and they were divided into groups according to their colors. They were also differently named according to their color. When he would prepare to return from the pasturing ground, he would gather all the cows. As Vaishnavas count 108 beads, which represent the 108 individual gopis, so Krishna would also count on 108 beads to count the different groups of cows. Like that. So he's also doing his japa. Like that.
Om Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Jai Srila Prabhupada ki Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki Jai Nityai Gaura Premanandini ki